Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, September 22nd, Pope Francis reflects on his recent apostolic journey to Budapest and Slovakia at his weekly general audience. Mexico's president hopes a new initiative will help ease poverty that leads to migration to the U.S. And Cardinal Sean O'Malley speaks about the devastating effects of the abuse crisis and the need for pastoral conversion. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis held his weekly general audience in the Paul VI Hall today, exactly 1 week after returning from his apostolic journey to Budapest and Slovakia. In his catechesis, the Pope reflected on the significance of that visit, calling it a pilgrimage to the roots of prayer and hope. Devin Watkins has more.
Pope Francis spoke about the meaning of his apostolic visit to Slovakia and Budapest in the catechesis portion of the Wednesday general audience. The papal journey, which took place on September 12th to 15th, was characterized by the word together, said the Pope, since it showed that the Church breathes with two lungs, the Latin and Greek rites, while walking together with the Jewish community, other Christians, and the faithful of other religions.
Un pellegrinaggio di preghiera, un pellegrinaggio alle radici, un pellegrinaggio di speranza.
I would summarize it as follows, he said. It was a pilgrimage of prayer, a pilgrimage to the roots, a pilgrimage of hope. The first stage of the journey, which took him to Budapest, Hungary, saw the Universal Church gathered around the Lord's sacrifice.
Il popolo santo di Dio nel giorno del Signore si è riunito davanti al mistero dell'Eucaristia.
The holy people of God gathered before the mystery of the Eucharist, he said. They were embraced by the cross that stood above the altar, showing the same direction indicated by the Eucharist, namely the path of humble and selfless love. Pope Francis went on to say that his pilgrimage was one which took him to the roots. The encounter with the bishops of Hungary and Slovakia, he said, allowed him to touch the roots of Christian faith and life in the region, which reached back to the 9th century.
Più volte ho insistito sul fatto che queste radici sono sempre vive.
On several occasions, he said, I insisted on the fact that these roots are always living, full of the vital lymph that is the Holy Spirit. The third aspect of his apostolic journey, said the Pope, was that it was a pilgrimage of hope. He expressed his joy at seeing the hope in the eyes of young people in Košice, where many young couples with children joined the Pope for a youth encounter. I saw hope in the many people who silently care for and are concerned with their neighbor, said Pope Francis, mentioning especially the missionary Sisters of Charity who care for homeless people in Bratislava. The Pope concluded his catechetical reflections by offering his heartfelt gratitude to the bishops and civil authorities of Slovakia and Hungary, and to the many faithful who took part in his papal journey. I'm Devin Watkins.
In world news, Mexico's president unfolds hopes and plans that he hopes U.S. President Joe Biden will grasp, seeking funds to create 330,000 jobs in southern Mexico and Central America via a huge tree planting program and workshop apprenticeships. James Blears reports on the initiative, which seeks to root out the desperation of poverty that leads to undocumented migration.
The letter from Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador to President Joe Biden urges an injection of money from the U.S. to create and sustain two major employment programs, specifically encompassing Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Part of it involves issuing temporary work visas. He's requesting President Joe Biden to contemplate and consider a fresh and new approach towards the migratory issue, which he says now needs a comprehensively different treatment. He says, we must not limit ourselves to the concentration and application of measures, especially coercive ones. The two neighboring nations have already agreed to team up on work plans. López Obrador, whose nickname is AMLO, proposes support for a government tree planting program under Youth's Building Towards the Future scheme encompassing Central America. Widespread tree planting is already underway in the southern Mexican state of Chiapas and is available to a quarter of a a million farmers, while there's a workshop program for 30,000 apprentices. This could be extended to 90,000 more young people in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. AMLO's also appealing for Washington to assess a temporary work visa initiative to the United States, tempered, tailored, and channeled in a master plan to accommodate workforce needs throughout the United States, boosting economic growth while humanizing orderly migratory flows. For Vatican Radio, James Blige reporting.
Elsewhere, a magnitude 5.9 earthquake struck southeast Australia on Wednesday, causing damage in the city of Melbourne. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
Oh, I've never had an earthquake here before.
That was the reaction of breakfast TV presenters on Australia's ABC network as their studio felt the tremors of a 5.9 magnitude earthquake that struck Wednesday near Melbourne. Images and video footage showed rubble on one of the city's main streets, while many residents were evacuated from buildings. According to Geoscience Australia, this is one of the country's biggest quakes on record. Emergency Management Commissioner Andrew Crisp said the tremors could be felt far and wide.
Mildura, Mallacoota, or in the west of the state in Portland. We also know that people have acknowledged or felt this earthquake in Adelaide, Tasmania, and up into New South Wales.
Speaking to reporters in Washington, Prime Minister Scott Morrison said there were no reports of serious injuries, adding, "It can be a very disturbing event, an earthquake of this nature. They are very rare events in Australia, and as a result, I'm sure people would have been quite distressed and disturbed." The quake's epicentre was near the rural town of Mansfield in the state of Victoria, about 124 miles northeast of Melbourne. More than half of Australia's 25 million population lives in the southeast of the country from Adelaide to Sydney, and earthquakes in this area are a rare occurrence. In 1989, the country's deadliest quake, a 5.6 in Newcastle, claimed the lives of 13 people. The country's Bureau of Meteorology said in a statement that no tsunami threat was issued to the Australian mainland, islands, or territories. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
A new report presented Wednesday by UNICEF shows that globally, approximately 23 million children under the age of 5 are suffering from acute malnutrition. Of that number, more than half are under 2 years old. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
According to a new report launched today by UNICEF, more than half of all children under 5 years of age with acute malnutrition are under 2 years old, while the proportion of children with chronic malnutrition increases rapidly between 6 months and 2 years as diets fail to keep pace with children's growing nutritional needs. According to the report, Fed to Fail, the Crisis of Children's Diets in Early Life, launched at the United Nations Food Systems Summit this week, children aged 6 to 23 months living in rural areas or in poorer households are much more likely to be on low-nutrient diets than children in the same age group in urban or wealthier areas. Children under the age of 2, according to the report, are not getting the food or nutrients they need to thrive and grow well, which leads to irreversible developmental damage. UNICEF points out that growing poverty, inequality, conflict, climate-related disasters and health emergencies such as the COVID-19 pandemic are contributing to the current nutrition crisis among the world's youngest children, which has shown little sign of improving over the past decade. To ensure nutritious, safe and affordable diets for every child, the report calls on governments, donors, civil society organizations and development actors to work together to transform food, health and social protection systems through key actions. These include, for example, increasing the availability of and access to nutritious foods by boosting their production, distribution and retail. The report then notes that progress is possible with investment. In Latin America and the Caribbean, for example, nearly two-thirds of children aged 6 to 23 months are fed a minimally diversified diet, while in East and Southern Africa, West and Central Africa, and South Asia, fewer than 1 in 4 children are fed a minimally diversified diet. In all regions, investments are needed to ensure that every child benefits from the diversified diets they need to prevent all forms of malnutrition and to grow, develop and learn to reach their full potential. I am Francesca Merlo.
In news from the Vatican, the Council of Cardinals met online on Monday afternoon. Cardinals Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, Reinhard Marx, Sean Patrick O'Malley, Oswald Gracius, and Fridolin Ambongo Basungo were connected from their countries of residence, while Cardinals Pietro Parolin and Giuseppe Bertello and the Secretary of the Council, Bishop Marco Molino, were connected from the Vatican. Pope Francis followed the proceedings from Casa Santa Marta. After a brief introduction to the work by Cardinal Maradiaga, Pope Francis offered his own reflection on the opening of the work of the next synod on synodality. After reviewing two of his speeches, identified as central to his thinking on the next synod, his 2015 speech for the 50th anniversary of the institution of the Synod of Bishops, and his discourse to the faithful of the Diocese of Rome last Saturday, Pope made it clear that at the heart of the reflection is not so much the deepening of this or that theme as learning a way of living the Church, marked at all levels by mutual listening and a pastoral attitude, particularly in the face of the temptations of clericalism and rigidity. The Cardinals Council will schedule a meeting for December when hopefully they'll be able to meet in person. Meanwhile, over the past few days, participants at a safeguarding conference organized by the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors have reflected on the crisis of sexual abuse in the Church in order to help the Church move forward in efforts to protect her most vulnerable members. Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the president of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, has been a key presence in the discussions at the conference. He spoke with Vatican News about his personal experience of witnessing the devastating effects of this crisis and of the Church's need for pastoral conversion in order to respond.
Having been bishop in four dioceses and three of them that were facing very serious problems was indeed challenging. I don't think I was in any way prepared for the challenges. It was sort of the first step in my own pastoral conversion to, as frightening or unpleasant as it is to deal with these difficult issues, I have come to the conclusion that there is nothing more important that I could be doing as a bishop. Jesus's first priority was healing, and the second priority was announcing the gospel. People are not going to believe the gospel if they think we don't care about their children, if they think that we're going to allow pedophile priests to be transferred from one place to another and endangering children. So I have come to see how important this is in the life of the Church. Once again, you see the devastating effects of this on people's trust and faith in the Church. So all of this has made me see how important it is to listen to the victim survivors, and that this is what can bring about a pastoral conversion in our lives as priests and bishops. And I know a lot of bishops are hesitant, people are angry, and it's hard to listen to people who have been hurt and who are angry. But they're angry because they've been wronged, and they seek justice and they seek healing. It's very tragic that many people have lost their faith in the Church because of this. And so our task is to try and bring that healing and to allow people to return to the Church.
That was Cardinal Sean O'Malley. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks to our technicians and sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.